This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
In the book of Luke, chapter 10, and I was torn, two or three things happening today that I could have talked about Independence Day, could have talked about the Lord's Supper. But since it is Men's Month, and I just left Essence Festival, and I watched our women do their thing, and they do it well. Amen. My concern, however, is for the brothers. We need some kind of fellowship, some kind of festival to help us get it together. Amen. So in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 30 through 37, there is a word from the Lord. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37, you will find these words. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Amen. As you take your seats this morning, I want to talk for just a few minutes from this subject. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Thank you, ushers. Amen. Our sermon title is taken from a very familiar story found in the 4th chapter of Genesis. Adam lay with his wife Eve. She conceives and gives birth to her first son, Cain. Amen. If you'll turn off some of the other mics, it'll kill that hum. Later, she conceives again and gives birth to her second son, Abel. Now, the Bible says that Cain was a farmer and Abel was a shepherd. Cain and Abel gave offerings to the Lord. Abel's offering was looked upon with favor, but God rejected Cain's offering. Cain was upset and angry. The Bible says that one day Cain invited Abel out to the field, and it was there that he committed the world's first murder. He killed his very own brother. Brothers killing brothers. Truly, there is nothing new under the sun. The Lord asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? Cain flippantly replied, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? In this story, not only do we find the genesis or beginning of all creation, but also we find the beginning of division, the beginning of strife, the beginning of separation between brothers, a phenomenon that still exists today. This seed of division and strife continues to move down through the generations, from Cain and Abel to Jacob and Esau to Joseph and his brothers, amen, to Absalom and Amnon, to Bebe and Pookie, the Bloods and the Crips, and the list goes on and on. Because of this seed planted thousands of years ago, the relationship between brothers, biological and spiritual, has been perverted. Many men have either heard or asked the same question that Cain asked, am I my brother's keeper? This division and separation of brothers would become so ingrained into the fabric of our society, into the fabric of the Israelite community, that by the time Jesus arrived on the scene, it had permeated the very religious community that God had called and commissioned to bring about reconciliation. If the purposes of God were going to be accomplished, there had to be a redefining of the idea of brotherhood. Somebody had to answer Cain's question, am I my brother's keeper? So at the beginning of our text, we find Jesus bringing closure to Cain's question. In the 10th chapter of Luke, Jesus is teaching among his disciples and members of the community. In verse 25, the Bible says that a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. He asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But Jesus, not deceived by the motive behind the question, responded in essence by saying, you're the expert, you tell me. The man quoted scripture. He quoted that scripture that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then, really trying to be slick, he asked, and who is my neighbor? Well, y'all, I guess he failed to realize that Jesus was the master teacher. And the master teacher takes this opportunity to present a case study through which hearers could decide for themselves the answer to that question, who is my neighbor? He begins by telling them a story that helps to demonstrate the true meaning of brothers dwelling in unity. Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was traveling a distance that spans about 17 miles and consisted of a 3,400-foot drop. Archaeologists tell us that the road he traveled was rocky and desolate. It was on this road that the man fell among thieves, a victim of gang violence, if you will. Amen. These robbers stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and they went away, the Bible says, leaving him half dead. Y'all, this parable has become for many men, especially today, and in our nation and in our society, it has become a lived reality. How many nameless, countless men have this story as their testimony? How many men are traveling or have traveled that lonely, desolate, rocky road from Jerusalem to Jericho? Maybe it's rocky because nobody caught the learning disability in time. Maybe it's rocky because he's never known anything but jail. Maybe it's rocky because he never knew his father and was forced to search for manhood and found it in all the wrong places. Whenever one falls upon the rocky road, there is the potential to fall among thieves, robbers, and thugs. Most black men now do not fall among thieves like the ones on this Jericho road, but they run into thieves just the same. Thieves called racism, classism, unemployment, anger, violence, rejection, or thieves called suicide, homicide, and genocide. Thieves called profiling and prejudice. Sometimes the thieves have on uniforms and stand behind a badge. Jesus goes on to say, a priest happened to be traveling the same road. And when the priest saw the man, he passed by on the other side as if to say, I may be religious, but if it means getting involved in black-on-black crime, I'm not my brother's keeper. Then the Bible says a Levite came, and he too passed by on the other side as if to say, I may be an intellectual in my community, but if it means dealing with someone like this, I'm not my brother's keeper. The very ones who had been called, the ones who had been chosen, the ones who had been set apart by God to serve were the ones who went about their religious duty day after day, week after week, year after year, attending conference after conference, association after association, revival after revival, never stopping to consider that a law or a gospel devoid of social responsibility that causes one to ignore the needs of others is nothing more than a crackerjack approach to Christianity. Y'all know what a crackerjack approach is, don't you? Y'all do know what crackerjack religion is, don't you? It's when you only do ministry when you believe there's a prize involved. But I've come by on this Sunday morning to remind us that if we're not careful, we can become so busy serving God that we cannot see that meeting the needs of our brothers and sisters is the prize. Is there anybody who understands what Jesus said when he said, if you want to be great, you better learn how to be a servant? But even when life leaves you stripped, beaten, and left for dead, I've come by to tell you that God always has somebody who is ready, willing, and able to come to your rescue. Even when the priests pass you by and the Levites don't want to be bothered with you, God still has somebody who will say, I am my brother's keeper. The Bible says, along comes a Samaritan. The Bible says that when the Samaritan saw the man lying by the side of the road, here it is, tell your neighbor, he had compassion. That's my first point. If we're going to be our brother's keeper the way God intended, we must first have compassion. You got to care. I heard somebody say it, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We've got to be a people with compassion. Amen, amen. You got to have compassion, compassion. The difference between the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan was that the Samaritan had compassion. Y'all, Trayvon Martin would still be alive today if Mr. Night Watchman, George Zimmerman, had had compassion. Eric Garner would still be alive today if those police officers, when they heard him say, I cannot breathe, if they had only had a little compassion. George Floyd would still be alive today if those officers with the full weight of their bodies on his neck would have had a little compassion. The Supreme Court and Republicans in Congress, amen, would allow the president to forgive student loan debt to a whole lot of young people who are struggling just to make ends meet if they would only find it in their hearts to have a little compassion. How many of you know that if you're going to serve God, if you're going to please God, you better learn how to have compassion? But it's difficult to have compassion on somebody if you don't recognize that despite the color of their skin, they are still your brother. You may be white, but you're still my brother. You may be Hispanic or Asian, but you're still my brother. The Samaritan had compassion. All three of them saw the man. All three of them recognized the gravity of his situation, but only one understood what it meant to be his brother's keeper. That was the one who had compassion. Having compassion means allowing oneself to be affected with the same feelings as the one who's experiencing the situation or the condition. To sum it up in one word, it means to have empathy. Amen. If we're going to be our brother's keeper in our churches, in our communities and families, we've got to have compassion for others. We unlock compassion when we learn to say, what would Jesus do? I often wondered why it was that the Samaritan was able to have compassion and the others were not. I suggest to you that the reason is that he recognized that the man beaten, the man stripped, the man left half dead could have been him. Oh my, as a Samaritan, he knew what it was like to be looked down upon and ignored. He knew what it felt like to have people pass over you like you're not there. And that's why I cannot fathom, I cannot understand how Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas can sit there with his royal robe on after having taken money and done all kind of stuff from other people, having been the recipient of I can't understand how he could sit there and deny folk coming along the same privileges that he enjoyed as he came up. The Samaritan knew what it was like to get on an elevator with someone and have them hold their purse a little tighter. He knew what it meant to need help and not be able to get a hearing to articulate it to anybody. God is looking for men after God's own heart. men who, when they see their brother addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol, standing on the corner with a hoodie on and sagging pants, or just struggling to make it, they understand and have compassion. God is looking for men who will not cross over to the other side or act afraid to help, but rather who will have compassion. God is looking for believers who will look beyond their brother's faults and see their needs. After all, if you're saved, you have to testify that the only reason you made it is because God looked beyond your mess. God looked beyond your faults. And he saw your needs. God needs men with vision who are not too busy, not too holy, not too saved, not too educated, and not so affluent that they can no longer be affected by another brother's condition. It is because of the Lord's mercies. I said it is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed if we're going to be our brother's keeper. We've got to first have compassion. Not only must we have compassion, but second, y'all, we've got to get involved. The Bible says that after the Samaritan looked upon the man with compassion, he went to him, bandaged his wounds, poured on oil, set the man on his donkey, and took him to a hotel. In other words, y'all, the Samaritan's compassion moved him to action. It wasn't enough to recognize the pain and injustice of this man's situation. It wasn't enough for him to feel that something ought to be done. How many of us sit back and say, something ought to be done? Amen. He got involved in the man's situation. If we're going to see changes in the lives of men and boys today, we've got to get involved. We've got to be willing to extend ourselves and move beyond doing only what is necessary. Getting involved means risking being inconvenienced. Oh my, y'all know how folk don't like even your own family. Some of you get in trouble, nobody wants to be inconvenienced. It means moving beyond what is comfortable. It means doing more than just enough. It means sacrificing your time or your day off or your pleasure. Getting involved means asking the tough questions and sticking around for the hard answers. If we're going to be our brother's keeper, we must be willing to get involved in their situations. The Samaritan knew that if he was going to help the man, he was going to have to give up something. He would have to risk getting blood on his clothes, on his suit. Amen. Amen. He was going to have to walk so the brother could ride. Amen. He would have to delay his own journey so the man could have a shot at continuing his. He understood that sometimes getting involved means being inconvenienced. And I've come by Pleasant Hill this morning, and to brothers in particular, to tell you, my brothers, that we need believers who are willing to get involved. But then last, if we're going to be our brother's keeper, we must be willing to make provisions for their future. The Bible says in verse 35 that not only did the Samaritan bind up the man's wounds, but also he provided the man with a place to stay while he recovered. And the Samaritan paid the cost. He ensured that the man would have a future. He did everything he could to make sure the man would be able to live and at some point make it on his own. The best provision that we can make for our brothers is instilling in them the hope of Jesus Christ. Oh, don't get it twisted. Amen. We can aid them financially. We can offer scholarships. We can do all of that, and we ought to do all of that. We can give them school supplies. Amen. But the best thing that we can give our brothers and our sisters is Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here today that can say, I'm glad my mama
gave me Jesus. I'm glad that my father gave me Jesus. I didn't get a car. I did get a car when I graduated from high school, but there are some who will say I didn't get a car when I graduated, but thank God mama gave me Jesus. I didn't have new suits every Sunday, and I didn't have expensive name brand shoes and clothes like some of your children have today, but at the end of the day, if mama gave you Jesus, you ought to thank God. If daddy gave you Jesus, you ought to give God praise. If grandma taught you about Jesus, you ought to tell God thank you. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all of my fear is gone. Come on and give Jesus some praise right now. We got to give him Jesus. The prophet Jeremiah proclaimed, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Jeremiah understood that the man who trusts in the Lord has a blessed future. One of the biggest problems plaguing black men, young and old, is their lack of hope for the future. For many of them, death comes much too soon. So often, what we perceive and label as disrespect or at-risk behavior is somebody who feels like they're trapped. Amen. They feel like they are a prisoner in their own bleak reality, a reality they can never, ever see changing. They feel hopeless. And let me tell you, the powers that be in this nation are trying to heighten that hopelessness. They're trying to feed us, amen, amen, subconsciously. They're trying to tell us that we're not important. They're trying to tell us that our culture is not important. They're trying to tell us that we, amen, don't offer anything and we don't add anything. But I've come by to tell you the devil is a lie. I've come by to tell you that God is on our side. I've come by to tell you, amen, that what the devil means for evil, God will turn it around and God will work it for our good. I said, go on and get rid of affirmative action. Go on and fix it where we can't get into Harvard and we can't get into Yale and we can't get into Columbia. But thank God there's Southern University. Thank God there's Grambling State University. Thank God there's Dillard and there's Xavier. Amen. Sometimes God does things to remind us that we ought not forsake what he allowed us to start. We ought not forsake what he gave us the intelligence and the ingenuity to start when we couldn't go other places. He gave us the wherewithal to do some things for ourselves. And is there anybody here who knows that at the end of the day, that even without affirmative action, that there's still going to be some black boys, and there's still going to be some black girls who score higher than the other folk, and they'll still get where God wants them to get. I wish I had somebody here today who understands that if God is for you, he's more than the world against you. Don't lose hope. Keep hope alive. Keep trusting God. Keep leaning and depending on him. And is there anybody who knows that God will make a way? I don't know. God will open doors. God will lift you up. He'll pick you up. Turn you around. Place your feet on. Give him praise if you know. Give him praise if you think. Give him praise. I am my brother's keeper. As we
at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
K-A-Y-T, Lake Charles, 100.1.